So with that, we have opened our evening with a mellow Maha Mantra. Sweet and deep at the same time. Because generally speaking, we're living in the external world, the world of the impulses. And so many impulses, so many sounds, so many noises, you know, so many ringtones, so many different impulses throughout the day, and so many people. And all that gradually spins our consciousness, preoccupies our consciousness, and we get disconnected from ourselves. But not only disconnected from ourselves, you know, also disconnected from our roots in nature. Little background music for the dramatic effects. It wasn't easy to time that, yeah. Good coordination. Anyway, I hope that whoever goes there goes well. So like that. The other day I was preparing for a program which I'm planning to do on over the upcoming weekend in Cronulla, and it's based on a book that Srila Prabhupada made, and a very nice book with original Chinese art. The original edition of the book came out in, like some sort of coffee table format. So big size pictures and really nicely printed. That one, you know, only on the internet, you can still find it somewhere. But otherwise, hard to get by. But really nice paintings done by some Chinese lady who sort of left during the communist regime, during one exhibition outside of China. She just never went back, but that meant that she had to leave a lifetime of art behind. So that was a big thing, because when you're an artist, you know, you, whatever you've created, it's part of yourself, and you leave your art behind is like cutting yourself in half. So she did that, but then somehow or another she met Srila Prabhupada, who engaged her and took an ancient text from the Bhagavad Purana, the 10th canto, and it's about the changing of the seasons. And of course the Indian seasons are a little different than the Australian ones. There's a monsoon climate in India, and basically the monsoon climate is the summer heat is building up and up and up, and there's no relief. It's always hot. The night is hot. The wind is hot. The walls are hot. The ground is hot. It's hot. You know what I mean? It's scorching. It's a blast. And imagine in previous time when there was no AC and all that, you know, you had to face it. And so, so that is our first picture. And then the next picture shows how rain clouds are building up. And these rain clouds are like in dynamic Chinese style, are swirling and have thunderbolts in them, and look kind of promising rain clouds. Something good is coming. And that's the basic theme of the whole chapter. The situation where one feels dry, one feels the heat of desire, unfulfilled desire, and one is looking everywhere and everywhere to fulfill that desire and somehow or other. Sometimes it seems to work for a while, but then again it gets dry and like ultimately not completely fulfilled. But then at last these clouds appear, and this time it looks like it's really going to happen, and it is happening, and it is coming down, and waves of water are flowing everywhere over the land that was once dry, and now things start to flourish. As a person who has finally found a sense of direction in life, and finally life is taking off after a long time when it just didn't happen. So like this it goes forward. And so many things come up and things develop, right? But yet there are also others, you know, there are other paintings, and we go, we get a beautiful landscape, many beautiful animals, many beautiful paintings, beautiful pictures, and then we get like this greedy man sitting in the middle of the situation and looking at it and thinking, how can I exploit someone and get what others have? And some are falling victim to his manipulation. And in this way, it shows that as good fortune grows, there are new problems that arise that previously were not there, but now those are there as well, and it carries on. And then towards the end, so many things that came up in that rainy season don't have a permanent duration. They are sort of, it gradually begins to dry up again. Rainy season is over, and not as dry as before, but still a lot of the beautiful vegetation and aquatic life all begins to disappear and shrivel up. So it shows, these kind of pictures, I like them, not only because it's beautiful Chinese art, which is different, but because it is kind of archetypical. You're going to each picture is not only talking about something outside of us. It does exist outside of us, these seasons, but it reflects inside of us. As Carl Jung has identified his archetypes and has explained how the internal aspects of nature and the external aspects of nature, and how the external natures are like symbols in our consciousness. And thus, through that story, one gets some hold on, some grip on himself. And then, you know, at one point, pictures of Krishna come in, similar to the pictures that are here on the wall. Okay? And of course, such pictures of Krishna, we are also painting when we are chanting the Maha Mantra in Kirtan. It's the same thing, but then we are painting in sound. One can paint in colors, or one can paint in sound. And so we're painting pictures of Krishna in sound as we are chanting, and then and we realize that is actually the constant factor behind it all, you know, behind all the changes that happen in front and so on. And that's sort of, in a nutshell, the whole thing. And we'll see where it goes later this week, I don't know. Somewhere else than tonight. Tonight, we simply take this for a moment to kind of see that it is not that this chanting for a short while, for an hour or so, or two maybe, takes us into another world. It is rather, it takes us actually back to the world that is there all along. And if one, when one chants the first time, one kind of feels like it takes me to another world. But if it becomes a more regular practice chanting, then I begin to feel that actually it reconnects me with the world that's always there. While there are so many changes, and sometimes things really flourish and other things, oh, they're shriveling up again, and it's like, oh dear, it was just going forward and now it's just turned around again. And then again, yes, new opportunities and so on. And that goes on, again and again. But gradually, it's the constant factor. Krishna, who is always there, who was always there, actually, if you think of it. Like sometimes I think of my childhood and, you know, I'm from a liberal Dutch family who was sort of living just in the nice foresty, hilly areas outside of Amsterdam, where my family was making their money in the city. So it was kind of a peaceful place to live. And it was always very nice. But spirituality was like a bit absent in that place. But still, so I didn't grow up in a religious way or something like that. I was never taught how to pray. Of course, learned it from TV and the movies. But what I did see was something divine in nature. I mean, when I was 10 years old, the sea froze. And you couldn't believe it, you know. It just, the sea was freezing in 1963. I've checked it out on the internet if it was really true, you know, because a child's experience may not be the same as an adult's, right? So it looked to me like everything white and huge, like enormous chunks of ice, you were climbing on them, you know, I mean, huge ice blocks on the beach and also in the sea and all frozen together. And could sort of walk over this Antarctic landscape. That's not normal, you know. And I checked it on the internet, it's really true. I wasn't hallucinating, so. So it was something. It was something so extraordinary that, like, even then, you know, I felt that, like, this is no longer, you know, just nature. Something is going on, some divine intervention or something. This is more than the nature. Sometimes the voice of spirit speaks through us, to us, through nature. High on a mountain, you know, you feel different. Yeah, it's just totally different experience. More humble, more respectful about, you know, the world and the universe and everything. Just like that. So very interesting, our relationship with nature. Especially discussing that, like in an urban environment, and where we are kind of, our lifestyle is quite different from that. And I mean, you're here, downtown Sydney, and it's a fast-moving place. And I am, and I came flying in with more than 1,200 k's an hour, from South Africa. So they're also pretty fast. They're living very fast. I went with a Swami from Sweden. Sweden is a different place, you know. Sweden is cold. It's always like icy and snowy and all these things for 9 months. Their sea freezes every year. And like, you know, and when, right, when it's all ice and snow, well, you know, the first day you go outside. But after a while, think, well, okay, been there, done that. Staying near the heater. as close as possible. But yeah, it's a long time inside. So the Swami from Sweden is very peaceful. He has learned to just be peaceful, not run around. He just sits and peacefully waits. One time during the summer, he took us into the forest, took us to a tree, and told us to sit down. We sat down, and he said, "Now, slow down." And I was getting a panic attack, you know. I was going, "Oh my God, you know, I'm not going to go any slower than this, are we? It's already very slow. How slow can it be? You know, because I'm not used to it. I'm in the fast lane, to be honest." It doesn't matter. One can be spiritual in the fast lane, spiritual downtown, or one can be spiritual somewhere silently seated under a tree. It is not that one is naturally more spiritual than another, because spirituality is always, it's always there. You cannot say it's there only when we are very slow. No, it's also there when we're fast. It's always present at all times. And if one is connected, one is connected. No. Still, for us, in the urban environment, maybe sometimes it's good to just slow down. So the Ma mantra, as we sang it slowly, was just basically temporarily pushing all other things aside and saying, yes, just again and again. Simple melody, nice one, and simple. So the advantage of these simple melodies is that it's easy to kind of connect to them, and then, and after a while, you don't have to think anymore. You don't have to consciously endeavor anymore to sing along. You just sort of sing, it starts to flow automatically. So it enhances meditation, of course. So we can do another one, if that's okay with you. Yeah. So that theme of connecting with the constant factor, the constant spiritual factor, which is actually that theme is the whole essence of the Oriental culture. The Bhagavad Gita deals with that theme. You know, the Bhagavad Gita basically depicts a situation. Well, the Bhagavad Gita, first of all, it translates liturgy. Gita means song, and Bhagavat is who has all opulences. The possessor of all opulences. So that's the Supreme Lord. So the song about the one who possesses all the opulences. And then it basically describes Arjuna, a man of the world, a man who has a very influential position, not just anyone, but someone who is a leader in society. Someone who is an aristocrat, and yet not corrupted, who, despite all his opulence and his power and position, is actually a man who of high values and high ideals. But Arjuna is in a very complex situation because there's a war coming up, and the tensions building up. But the biggest problem is that in that war, there are those who are dear to him in either of the armies. So his relatives are divided over both sides in the war. So he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, this is too much. And So he is in a distressed state of mind, and that's how the Bhagavad Gita begins. And then Krishna immediately begins to give the perspective of eternity, that which is constant, the constant factor. Why so bewildered by these temporary changes? Rather, look at the eternal perspective. So that is the foundation of spirituality. And it's very nice. So with this chanting, we just connect again and again. Anytime, anywhere, any place. One can always, you know, we can chant while driving, we can chant early in the morning when the roads are empty, only birds and chanters. Yeah. It's quite nice. Early mornings like that, or late nights, just to sort of reconnect. So this is the principle which in ancient times was part of life, and just to reconnect again and again with our eternal roots, and that gives us that gives us the inner strength, the inner an inner sense of aloofness. It's logical, you know. If you have your own peace of mind and a strong sense of peace of mind, you don't become so much affected if you walk into some sort of agitated situation, because you have your own strength inside. You say, okay, you know, these people are all uptight, it's incredible. But, so that inner strength of inner peace and inner goodness, that is attained through that connection. Then it's not just a state of mind, but then it's a state of heart. See, to be peaceful in a state of mind is one thing. You try and be peaceful in a state, make the mind peaceful. Okay, nice. But then, you know, just wait a while, and there's something that will disturb that peaceful mind again. But if the heart is peaceful, then everything, nothing can affect that that peacefulness. So from the chanting, that comes. You know, maybe someone has some question, some comment, and otherwise I'll also sing one more time. It's sort of like the way it comes tonight. This program is sort of an intimate program, at least that's how I take it, you know. It's like there's different kinds of programs, you know, like here we, and no matter how you make this place look, it still has the feel of in the living room, you know what I'm saying? And that's maybe part of the charm of it all, right? In the living room, just, you know, just as it comes, not like a formal presentation, but just homely atmosphere. We're just here to have a pleasant evening. And, well, I like singing and chanting Hare Krishna, I hope you do too. So with that. Sometimes I do rock, you know. And but here it's homely and the floor is sort of, it's an old home, it's a beautiful home, but the floor is not designed for that kind of stuff. I don't want you to all, we're trying to get to elevate ourselves and not to sort of go down to the lower regions. So maybe a good idea to sort of not go overboard on the pace. Yeah, so.